Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
A great good day to you. You are in the clubhouse, and here's an idea for those of us who are struggling with our game, even Tiger Woods. But this is Sophie Gustafson, a five-time winner on the LPGA Tour, 23 victories around the world, 8 times on the Solheim Cup. She finds herself struggling with her game, so she's going to, yes, caddy for the next 4 weeks on the LET Tour, the Ladies European Tour, for American Beth Allen. I just want to know what I'm doing. She knows that what I'm doing isn't working, she said, and I have something to give. I feel like I have something to give, and she's going to give this one a try. How long? At least a month, and she'll see from there. I think it's a really good idea, being on that side and watching and feeling. You lose yourself and in the process, hopefully find your game. We're going to talk with Jay Blasi, the project architect, Chambers Bay Golf Course, kind of a post-mortem on the 2015 U.S. Open and how Chambers Bay held up. First, we're going to thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Star Protection. For property threat and risk assessment, protection for your home or business, for your concert or special event like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California. Alert Alarm of Hawaii, providing closed-circuit television surveillance systems for both commercial and residential customers across Hawaii. These systems can be monitored anywhere in the world on your laptop or smartphone. Alert Alarm of Hawaii, your Kama'aina video surveillance company. Also by Creative Plumbing. Whether a building, shopping center, store, custom home, or townhouse, call Creative Plumbing, because it has to be done right. Creative Plumbing. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, hosted PGA of America Grand Slam of Golf for over 10 years. An outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities. The Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem.
Well, Poipu Bay, by the way, has an 840, a 940, an 1150, and a 210. And go check out the renovated pro shop. Lots of goodies inside. Plus, the Southside Men's Club is going out to play today. And may you all hit the sweet spot every time. Not since Bobby Jones in 1926 has a player birdied the 72nd hole to win the U.S. Open by a stroke. Jordan Spieth was watching on television. He thought he'd blown his chance to be the U.S. Open champ on 17 until he was sitting inside the trailer watching Dustin Johnson lose his chance to win with that first eagle putt on 18. The lip out on his second chance, this was to go into a playoff, and then three putt for a complete loss. This was Jordan Spieth's first comment after that.
I can't seem to wrap my head around the finish of today. I've tried to think about it since it ended, and I feel for Dustin. It's the same feeling I had on 17. I just was able to have another hole to rebound. This is incredible. It's incredible. It'll take a little while to sink in, just given I didn't think that this would be over and that I'd be holding the trophy. Definitely didn't think that at the time, but, obviously pleased.
Obviously pleased. Jordan Spieth, your 2015 U.S. Open champion, the 2015 Masters champ, and he's going to the Open at St. Andrews next. We'll see. They say there's a 1% chance that he could complete the career Grand Slam. That would be all... Or excuse me, the Grand Slam period, the career Grand Slam is if you finish and complete and win all of the majors in your career. But if you do it in a calendar year, that's something very special. And we'll have to see if Mr. Jordan Spieth at the age of 21 is able to pull that off. Jay Blasi, golf course architect, project architect at Chambers Bay, home of the 2015 U.S. Open this past June, owner of Jay Blasi Design. He joins us now, worked with the San Francisco Public Golf Alliance to save Sharp Park. I remember that controversy. Welcome to the show, Jay.
Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. What an exciting finish. It was amazing shot making over the course of the last 4 days of that U.S. Open.
Yeah, it doesn't get much more thrilling than that. I think, obviously, a lot of buildup, and it all paid off. The last hour was edge-of-your-seat television. For sure.
Yeah, it was. And I mean, in August, when I came back from Chambers Bay, I couldn't help but think of, you know, the whole course is made for television, the way it's laid out. And I want to talk to you about how you felt the golf course held up under the 4 days of scrutiny by everyone and by the players, and but more importantly, as a U.S. Open site.
Well, there's 8 million different matrix to try and analyze how it performed, and I think each one of those has been discussed already. But for us as designers, it was great fun to watch the golfers try to game plan and try to learn the golf course and understand the angles that they needed to take, the types of shots that they could hit or that they couldn't hit. And that was probably the most fun of all, was to watch them evolve through the week. I spent a lot of time with a lot of different players during their practice round, and to see them arrive, you know, maybe the Saturday before and walk on the golf course for the first time and look around and really just be in shock and awe and not really know what to do. And then you were able to watch as the week progressed. And by the end of the weekend, many of the golfers, and particularly, those at the top, really figured it out and had a much better understanding of what slopes they could use, which ones they couldn't, and how to play the different shots. So that was as much fun as anything.
Yeah, I bet. And I asked, I have, 4,000, 4,600 friends on my Facebook page that's devoted to golf. And I asked the question, after everything you saw and heard on television and radio about Chambers Bay, are you going to or do you want to play golf at Chambers Bay? I had 72 responses. 32 said yes, and 33 said no, many with the caveat. Yes, if the greens are changed. Yes, if they can play it shorter. Naturally, they can. They don't have to play it like the pros did. Yes, if it were less expensive. And one person asked what I thought was a really insightful question, and it has to do with expense. And he said, why is it so expensive to play there? Does it cost that much more to keep a golf course looking natural? And I was just wondering, what is the expense of taking care of Chambers Bay?
Well, I think a couple things play into that. So the first thing that people should keep in mind is just the size of the property itself. So for most of us, we go out and we play at our local golf course, and that golf course might be somewhere between 100 and 150 acres, depending on, you know, how old the golf course is. Older golf courses particularly are even smaller. So Chambers Bay, just the golf course itself, is 250 acres. So literally twice the size for one golf course. And then you factor in there's public parks to the north and to the south. So it's a huge property to begin with. That's one factor. The other thing is that it is a municipal golf course, and there are different rates depending on where you live. So the golf course is, for a championship golf course, for a golf course that's hosted a U.S. Open, it's very, very affordable if you live in Pierce County. And it's quite affordable if you live in the Seattle or Washington market. But if you live in New York or Hawaii or Texas, you know, and you're traveling to play, then you will pay, I think it's $200+ depending on the season. So, but even in line, you know, there's five public golf courses to host the U.S. Open. I think Chambers Bay is the cheapest of the five.
So, yes.
there are different rates, and in terms of why it costs what it does, you know, some of it is supply and demand. Some of it is related to, you know, just the size of the property and what it takes to maintain it.
Okay. Well, on that note, on size of golf courses, it's been one of the questions, why are we building such huge golf courses that require so much maintenance? Now, mind you, I loved Chambers Bay. I loved being there. I loved walking the course. I loved the sight lines. I thought it was spectacular. So you've got a fan in me. But I need to ask these questions because it is a concern within the industry that we're making golf courses so big that they become almost impossible to maintain and be affordable.
You bring up a great point, and I'm glad you did, because it's something that I think is very important, and I'm wholeheartedly behind the sentiment. Golf in America today is really on the verge of not being sustainable, and part of that is related to the size of golf courses. And in many respects, a lot of this gets back to the golf ball. With the golf ball going further and further, a shot that goes 200 yards, if it goes 2 degrees offline, that might be, 30 yards. But if it goes 300 yards and it goes 2 degrees offline, that's more than 30 yards. So the farther the golf ball goes, the larger the property we need for a golf course. It needs to be wider and it needs to be longer. The longer and wider it is, the bigger the property is, the more it costs to develop the property, the more it costs to maintain the property, and then the more they charge for a green fee. So it's this big snowball effect. And I wholeheartedly agree that, by limiting the golf ball, we will be able to have smaller properties that take less to develop, less to maintain, and therefore will cost less to play. It's an absolute something we should be focused on.
So what Jack Nicklaus has been saying for the last 15 years is what you're saying needs to be done.
Well, golf architects have been saying that for 90 or 100 years, amazingly enough. Now, the one thing to keep in mind, and people will say, well, how can you say that? Chambers Bay was almost 8,000 yards. Every single project is site-specific. Each one has a different owner. Each owner has a different agenda that they're trying to achieve, and so everything is very site-specific. So it's really hard to have sweeping change when everybody, across the country, they're in different climates, they're in different markets, and they have different goals. At Pierce County, they had an abandoned sand and gravel mine. It was a huge site. The scale of the property is unlike anything most people have seen, and now people have watched it on TV, but anybody who watches it on TV and then goes there in person, it's even different when you're there in person. The scale is just huge.
It is.
And therefore, the design of the golf course was designed to match the scale of the property. And the goal of Pierce County was to attract a major championship, because what that would do was that would bring people from around the world to their community, and it would help lift the community as a whole. So those goals are very, very different than the goals of, the farmer in Tennessee who's going to, convert his farm into a golf course to satisfy the needs of the locals.
I totally understand. Plus, wasn't the goal of creating Chambers Bay to host a U.S. Open, to have all the professionals, for it to be a major championship site?
Yeah, it was really an economic development tool for the county. The county had other public golf courses already that they owned, and they were satisfying the needs of the local golfing public. So they didn't necessarily need another golf course, but they saw this as an opportunity to do something for the community at large. And that's why you see, in addition to the golf course, you have the big public parks that are used on a day-to-day basis, the public trail that weaves through the golf course. And the thought was that if we could host a big golf event, we can bring, television eyes to our county, so people will want to travel, and they'll fill up the hotels, and they'll eat in our restaurants, and it'll be good for the community as a whole.
Got it. So if I went there, could I walk the course on those public trails and then decide, gee, I've got to play this?
Absolutely. I mean, those public trails, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of people every day who are non-golfers. Walk that trail, they walk above the golf course, and they walk down and through it. And it's really one of the great aspects of the facility, is that Chambers Bay, the golf course plus the parks, has really become the public park of the county. It is the green space of the county, and it's a wonderful spot for golfers and non-golfers.
So it's almost like, in a way, it's like a St. Andrews, where you can go on a park on Sunday. St. Andrews is for people with their dogs and picnics, and they sit down and they have a nice time. We can't go that far on Chambers Bay, but you can certainly access it and stroll through it.
There are, nobody wants to compare Chambers Bay to St. Andrews and get into that comparison, but there are a number of factors that are similar. Yes, it is a public park the same way that St. Andrews is, in terms of it's part of the town, it's part of the community, it's owned by the community. It hosts the national championship. That's a big deal, and it brings people from all over the world. It's a walking-only golf course where locals are the caddies. So there are a number of similarities to St. Andrews, and it'll be interesting to watch the next major and see what Jordan can do there.
It will be, because he'll be at St. Andrews, and it's very exciting. I was thinking of the book that came out about Chambers Bay that has the title. Forgive me if I put something into the conversation that you're uncomfortable with. It had St. Andrews in the title. So I Golf World magazine editor and senior writer of Golf Digest, Jaime Diaz, wrote in Golf World, he came to three basic conclusions that I found. The U.S. Open should be played at Chambers Bay again. It made for excellent television viewing. And the course created conditions that forced great shot-making. Whatever flaws the course might have produced, interesting shot-making for television and golf purists was the result. Okay. He did suggest several changes that I wanted to run by you. One was to use the rail and the ferry to transport the spectators. It was part of the original plan. Do you think that'll ever come to fruition?
Well, it'll be interesting to see. You know, if we're ever lucky enough to host another championship, that'll be something that'll be discussed and debated. I know that they worked for 7 years trying to find the right solution with the rail line in order to get people there by rail. That was something when we designed the golf course originally we thought was a unique asset and something that would be a great thing for a championship. My understanding is that when they worked to do that, that they couldn't get enough train cars committed to where it became a viable option. So the interesting thing there was there was a lot of trepidation or concern about the transportation as it related to Chambers Bay hosting the U.S. Open, and concerns about where would people park and how long would the shuttle ride be. And to my understanding, everything on the transportation side went off without a hitch. That really was not that was one of the things from a spectator experience that was really dialed in and went quite well. But it would be great if people could get there by train. There was a lot of talk about bringing cruise ships in as floating hotels and having ferries. My understanding is the issue there was that the cruise ships weren't willing to pay tax. And that there were currents down in the South Sound that might have made it challenging for the cruise ships. So, but interesting things. And if there was ever a way to have people arrive by train, I think everybody'd be in favor of that.
Oh yeah, it just is romantic, and the whole area is romantic. So it would have added that flavor. Okay, how about this one? It was suggested that the hummocks, to flatten them out a bit, make them more traversable by foot, put grandstands in better places. I'm sure the grandstand positioning was more a USGA decision, but are there changes planned for some of those hummocks and greens? Got to get to the greens.
So as it relates, I think what he's getting at when he refers to hummocks, he's talking about the dunes that are outside of the hole, in between the holes.
Yes.
And that's where a lot of spectators wanted to be, was on the top of those, and they couldn't get to the top of those, either because they weren't allowed to by where the ropes were, or there was a challenge getting up to those. So absolutely, I think those are things that the USGA, Pierce County, everybody involved was studying. They were all watching. This was the first time we've been through this. Hindsight's always 20/20, and I think there's nobody would debate that there was an opportunity for improvement as it related to the spectator experience. So those are all things that can be studied, can be looked at. I think you gotta balance that with the golf course. One of the challenges we had, we knew all along that we wanted to host a major championship. And early on, the USGA came out during construction and they said, the first order of business is to create the best golf course you possibly can. If you don't have a great golf course, we're not coming here regardless. That just doesn't, nothing else matters if the golf course isn't good enough. And then on top of that, they said, ideally, we'd love to be able to have spectators walk down both sides of every hole. So that sounds good. Then you get into the middle of the design, you start working through everything. And what you find very quickly is that oftentimes on a particular hole, you were faced with the dilemma of, you know, the best golf hole is not going to be the best hole for spectators. And I'll use the 10th hole as an example. Many people really like the 10th hole. It's obviously beautiful. It's a straightaway par four with big dunes right and left. You can get a glimmer of the waterway in the background. But, you know, that golf hole, I think, it was made the best it could possibly be in terms of the shot and the look of the hole. But where they have the rope lines, you know, spectators really can't get on it. So it's definitely a balancing act. I think there's a lot of things that we could do that wouldn't take away from the golf course itself, but could help for the spectators if we would ever have another championship.
Okay. And my other question before, you know, I'm sure you wanted to say something when you came, and I'm afraid I'm not letting you say what was on your mind. But the question that comes to my mind about the greens, the fescue, I imagine, needs to grow in and get really solid. Is there any way to keep the poa out? The one that flowers and causes the bumpy conditions? Like, I know they shouldn't be necessarily perfectly flat. In fact, I like the fact that they weren't like they are on the PGA Tour all the time. They were a challenge, but some of the challenges got a little bit crazy.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that had to do with just kind of the perfect confluence of a lot of different factors. We had different weather than we've had over many different years. In fact, the weather was a great asset to the championship. You know, there was a lot of question marks on whether or not the golf course could play firm and fast in June. We obviously, for the U.S. Amateur, which was played in August, there was great conditions. But coming out of the spring, there was concern whether or not it could brown up enough. And we had a wonderful winter. We had great spring. But with the long days and the hot, you know, bright sunshine all the days, it exacerbated the differences between the fescue and the poa. And I think you brought up a great point about getting the fescue to grow in. Chambers Bay is, 8 years old, and the fescue is a wonderful grass. It's kind of the ultimate grass to play links golf on, to play firm and fast. But the one thing that it does have going against it is it's not very wear tolerant. That's why you can't have carts on it. And you really need to kind of baby into it. So, you know, it has kind of a capacity of maybe 35 to 40,000 rounds per year is kind of the max that it can handle. And a round isn't equal. A round in June doesn't have as much stress on the course as a round in December. And that's because if you take a divot in December, the grass won't grow back until April or May. No. Where if you take a divot in June, it'll grow back in a couple of weeks. So all rounds aren't equal. So in terms of the growing in, you're absolutely right. It would be wonderful if you could kind of get 3 years with light play on the golf course and get the roots, you know, super established. And then at that point, really your focus is you've built up this hardy turf grass and your focus is keeping the poa out, which can be done. It's labor intensive. You have an entire crew of people going out there with, you know, little forks picking at it and things like that. But, you know, it can be done. And if you look closely on the event, on the championship, the 7th green, the 13th green, and the 10th green were reseeded a couple of years ago, and those were pretty much pure fescue, and I think the players, a lot of them made the comment that, oh, you know, they putted more pure, and they certainly looked different as well. So it can be done, but it is a challenge when you have to balance public play. You know, right when Chambers Bay opened, the recession hit, so they're trying to manage getting, you know, enough players through there so that they're, you know, they're making their budgets and whatnot. So it's a real balancing act, but long term it can be done. There's different ways to go about it.
Jay Blasey, golf course architect and project architect at Chambers Bay. It's a real pleasure talking with you. I've kind of stretched my time because I find the subject matter, of course, so fascinating. What's your next project, and can we talk again?
Absolutely. Happy to come back whenever you'd like. I'm working on a project in Southern California. It's a private club called Santa Ana Country Club, in which we are essentially going to build a new golf course on the same site. And with the drought in California, probably the most exciting aspect of it is we're going to reduce the amount of irrigated turf by over 30 acres, and will reduce our water use 35% to 40%. So that's one I'm quite excited about.
Fabulous news. Thanks, Jay. It's good talking with you.
Thanks so much.
Aloha. We're going to come back and talk with the CEO of Secret Golf. I was watching it this morning. It's on CBS Sports, and that's channel 247 in Hawaii on Oceanic. It's at 4 or 4:30 Hawaii time. Just DVR it. We're going to come back right after this and talk with Vito Palermo, the CEO. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens.
Your plumbing can't wait.
It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight.
Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii.
Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded. Property guard and patrol services. Loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911. Or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
Oh man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh man, can't be too happy about that one. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on The Golf Club.
U.S. Open champ Jordan Spieth joins Craig Wood, Ben Hogan, Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, Tiger Woods as the only players to win the first two majors and be on their way to the home of golf at St. Andrews for the Open. Jordan Spieth is the youngest two-time major winner since Gene Sarazen in 1922 and the youngest U.S. Open winner since Bobby Jones in 1923. This is Jordan Spieth.
Every single thing that I'm able to do seems to find a history lesson on why I was the youngest to do something. So, or as young as somebody way back when. For me, this is my life. I've now been doing it for a while, and I don't really think of my age. I just think of us all as peers, and it's cool to be able to have, two legs of the Grand Slam now, and to conquer golf's hardest test. I mean, the U.S. Open is conquering, the hardest layout in all of golf, and that's the way every year. And the fact that we did it is amazing. We really grinded this week. I didn't have my best stuff ball striking at all, and we really grinded over those 4 or 5 footers, and that was the difference.
He gives a lot of credit to his caddy, and we'll be talking about Mike Greller coming up. But we're getting now to Secret Golf. Vito Palermo is the CEO of Secret Golf with Steve Elkington on CBS Sports. It's at 10 and 10:30 Eastern Time on CBS Sports. It's 4:30 Hawaii time. It's on channel 247 on Oceanic. Welcome to the show, Vito.
Thank you, Danielle. Happy to be here.
I was reading about all the different things that are happening. I mean, I remember Steve Elkington started with his website, Secret in the Dirt, and then he started a show that was on a network or on a cable television that was very small market. And then he won awards in CBS and Jason Duffner and all these people, Pat Perez. How did all of this come about?
It's been quite a ride, I have to tell you. So a little history. Steve Elkington and Mike Maves came together back in about 2010 to create this company called Secret in the Dirt. And it was really kind of a unique merger. Mike loves instruction and history, and Steve loves, obviously, is a phenomenal golfer. He's got a beautiful swing. He actually is incredibly incredibly passionate about the game, and he also loves to provide everything he's learned and share that with people of all types. And so the two guys together created, I think, something really interesting back when they first started. And so the company to this day is very focused on passion, and it's very focused on deep insights and also bringing in a lot of the characters that we all run across when we're out there on the golf course.
I think that's the fun part about it. Doesn't Steve find himself playing golf with, as you say, the characters, you know, the people that you hear about, somebody at a Muni who's been doing crazy things and playing fabulously, and he just shows up and gets involved?
I think that's absolutely right. In fact, we only shoot public courses. We have a one of the key philosophies of our show is that we want someone who watches our show to be able to go play the course. And we want to pick the characters that, you know, surround that course and understand why they play the game and why they love it so much. And that's a big part of our show. And we've, over the last two seasons, we've gone all across the country. Literally, we've done shows that happened at a prison. There is a prison in the United States that's open for public play.
No idea.
Yeah, and so Steve had a bet with the warden in our SmackDown. We recently filmed. Do you like that? Good.
Yes.
That show did really well, as you might imagine.
Yes.
As you might imagine, we recently did an episode at Death Valley. It is the lowest golf course in the world. Who would have thought? It's a beautiful resort. I wouldn't advise going in the middle of August.
Yeah.
But fabulous. And so we've done films all across the country that way. Heck, I think we could do a fabulous show in Hawaii, you know, with about the people and the culture and
Yes, you could go to Kahuku Golf Course on Oahu or Wailua Golf Course on Kauai or the Hilo Muni. All of these are municipal courses that I'm talking about. They all have incredible histories. When are you coming?
Well, let's get Steve on the phone. I'm sure, and I'll have to go to this one. I have played. I've been blessed with playing. I've played on five of the islands.
Oh,
I have not played on Oahu. I have played on Maui, Kauai, Molokai, Lanai, and the Big Island. And I love playing golf in the island.
Boy, that just tells you, you know, the way. Tourism of the visitor industry has changed. Everybody used to come to the gathering place, which is Oahu, but now they've got the flights. You can go direct. You don't have to stop here. But, you know, Turtle Bay is a beautiful place to stay. Ko'olina, if you like very dry conditions, that's a lovely place to stay. Of course, Kahala is beautiful, and then there's the Prince course that you could, but we do have some really, really nice courses here on Oahu. Kahuku is a little 9-hole course. It's not far from Turtle Bay, which is why I sent you there first. And it's it's where the ocean sweeps across the north shore of Oahu and just leaves all kinds of stuff. You know, if some Japanese trawler has gone by thousands of miles, we'll find bowls. You know, somebody threw their rice bowl overboard and it ends up on our beach. And along that coast, there's this beautiful little 9-hole golf course that, one of our legendary singers, Gabby Pahinui, played golf there all the time, barefoot. And he had a heart attack. He passed away on the golf course. That was his, like, he loved it. And it's just Matt Janella of Golf Channel loves that golf course. So,
those are the kinds of things we love to film. It really brings what we found in our show, and we're really excited about it. Is that it works with everyone, whether it's men or women alike. And as you know, a lot, you know, the distribution of men and women in the game of golf is like 80-20. Well, on our show, it's 50-50.
Uh-huh.
You know, young adults love the show. They love Steve's personality. We all do. Golfers and non-golfers alike. I can't tell you how much feedback we get from folks that don't play and now are interested in taking up the game. And I think that is a testament to Steve's personality and how well he shares his passion for the game and so much about it in all of our shows.
We're talking with CEO Vito Palermo. He's CEO of Secret Golf on CBS Sports. You can find it here in Hawaii. We're on five radio stations right now, so channel 247 on Oceanic. I know that's on Oahu. I'm sorry I couldn't find out for the neighbor islands. But he is also the managing director of 38 Degree Advisors. And just in that capacity, Vito, I wanted to ask you, you know, it was a big deal to go from the smaller network to CBS Sports. So there, and your business being with virtual marketplaces, digital lifestyles, you know, your perspective on technology, even with all the digital things that we need, which of course the show is available online, you can find segments, but still being on television still means something, doesn't it?
Being on television means a lot, especially in the golf industry, because so much of what we see every week is on the big screen. You know, all of the tournament golf, for the most part, is on the screen. And that's how, for the most part, people are introduced to the game. And so we felt that it was important to reach a big, big audience. And, you know, for perspective on that, years ago when we first started Secret in the Dirt, we created about a 25,000 person following. I kind of call it an underground website. And by the time we were at Rural Golf last year for season one of the show, we were reaching over 500,000 people a month.
Wow.
And our numbers on CBS are the same. And now what's happened is it has allowed the rest of our business to grow. I mean, a couple weekends ago at the Memorial Tournament, one of our partners, Jason Duffner, was playing and playing well. And we put out one tweet on Jason, and in a day we had 250,000 impressions.
That's phenomenal. And I'm glad you bring Jason Duffner into the conversation again, because I'm wondering, as the PG Tour players, Jason Duffner, Pat Perez, join Steve Elkington on the Secret Golf team, what are they doing?
What they do is they film for us. So one of the big projects that we have going on right now was something that I was very passionate about, not being a professional golfer. You know, I'm standing on number three at Mauna Kea, and I'm looking at the waves crashing in onto the beach, and that green is sitting out there, you know, precariously perched on the Pacific.
Yes.
And I want to know, what are they thinking? How are they going to execute that shot to perform and not have it end up in the drink? And so what we're doing is we're bringing together some of the best golfers in the world, and we're working with them for them to share on film how do they play these holes, what are they thinking about, and learn from that. And so what we've been doing, and we'll be doing it, is we follow the PGA Tour each week, and each week we post new videos on select holes on that week's tournament. So this week on the Travelers, we have Steve, Jason, and Pat telling you how they're going to play 15, 16, and 17.
Wow. Now, see, that's insight that we don't get while we're watching television, and they're standing there, and you wonder, sometimes they mic the caddy and the player, and you can kind of hear them talking. This is exactly what we need to know. What's going on in their mind? One thing that Jordan Spieth talked about is painting the picture. Okay, you know,
his
caddy kept saying, paint the picture, Jordan. You know, there is the thinking, but you also have to imagine it, I imagine. You have to create that picture in your mind, like you're throwing the ball. We don't think about throwing the ball. It's the same sort of idea, but of course it's not at all. And it's the secret in the dirt. And that's the part that I loved about when I was reading through some of the things that I got from you. Just about every person who's picked up a golf club has been afflicted, I love that word, with the desire to find the secret to the game, you know?
I wrote that, Danielle.
Well, you write well. And then you go on, some find it in practice, some in playing, some in hardcore instruction. It's said to be found in the dirt.
That's right.
That's from Ben Hogan, is it not?
That is from Ben Hogan. That's correct.
Yeah. And I just, and Steve Elkington really has taken examining the game to a level that's almost Hogan-esque.
He has, but what's interesting about Steve, and I've been blessed, I've actually played a little less golf than I'd like over the last couple of years while running this company. That's the great dilemma about being busy.
Yes, being in the golf industry, that's the great dilemma. Mm-hmm.
That's right. But I have been blessed to work with Steve on the range and from my own game and also seeing him with young kids to old, you know, adults. And he loves to teach, but what he's so great at is he can break it down to what matters. It's not about a tip. It's not about an extra 5 yards, but it's about, you know, doing what you need to do and doing it correctly. And he's able to show that, and he's able to explain it in a way that I've actually never found with other pros.
Wow. There are videos that we can get, too, and it looks like there's course strategy with Steve Elkington. Is that available online?
Yeah, so we have the core of what we do is all about instruction and all about entertainment. We believe that it shouldn't be about a better swing. It shouldn't be about 10 more yards or tips. Golf should be fun. Golf should be entertaining, and you should be able to go out and no matter what your skill level is, learn how to play and have fun doing it. And so what we have on our website are a series of instructional books, a series of short videos on a variety of topics ranging from the basics of the game to what's a pro think about when he's staring down number 18 in a major tournament. And then around that we have over 1,500 clips of instructional content on how to get better.
Wow. And I like this. I know everybody's going to go, really? Pat Perez and the TrackMan Maestro. I mean, people are obsessed with TrackMan. You know, it's like, oh, really? TrackMan? Yes. Okay. So with Secret Golf, it's on CBS Sports. And you can find it 10 to 10:30 Eastern on CBS Sports. It's 4 to 4:30 Hawaii time, channel 247 on Oceanic Cable. And you can follow Steve Elkington traveling the countryside, the rural countryside, playing the Champions Tour while his crew searches out the best that each town has to offer, whether a hidden gem of history, a fantastic golfing destination, or the people and places that help shape the town's character. Thank you for writing that. Such a great close.
Well, thank you, Danielle.
It's been a pleasure. CEO Vito Palermo, Secret Golf. Thanks for being on the Golf Club.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Aloha. We're going to come back and talk about working out. And Scott Dolly is the expert team member who helped put together Altered Course. Now, I've been watching it, and it's exciting. It's teams. It's kind of like Big Break, but it's not. It's constant movement. It's challenging. And the courses are, they put together a course that's not something I think everybody plays. Montego Bay is where it's shot. We'll talk with him right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Alert Alarm of Hawaii provides CCT surveillance systems for both commercial and residential customers across Hawaii. These systems can be monitored via the internet from anywhere in the world on your laptop or smartphone. We can also monitor your video systems for you from our 24-hour local 5-Diamond Alarm Monitoring Center. Call Alert Alarm at 528-6407 for a free security evaluation and estimate. Alert Alarm of Hawaii, your Kama'aina video surveillance company. Security solutions for your peace of mind.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Hoipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club, but you don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to the Golf Club.
We're kind of taking you back to last, the U.S. Open just happened a couple of days ago. just forget the last 5 days of everybody evaluating it. This is my first opportunity. The first day started with Jordan Spieth, Brendan Grace, Dustin Johnson, and Jason Day tied for the lead. Jason Day tied for the lead, suffering vertigo. A four-way tie with Louis Oosthuizen coming on like a freight train at Chambers Bay. He opened with a 77, but he came back with a pair of 66s. Well, the last 72 holes, Oosthuizen played, just blew away the field. It was the last 54 holes, the best, the greatest last 54 holes in U.S. Open history. If they had just had one more day. He ended up tied with Dustin Johnson for second. And that's kind of the stuff the Tiger Woods legend is made of, you know, being at the bottom and then all of a sudden, wow, there he is. Well, now Jordan Spieth is on his way to being a legend himself. That doesn't mean playing this game is easy for Spieth. What does he do when the going gets tough? Paint the picture, Jordan.
Yeah, it just means zero in. It means really focus on the shot, on the target, because in my struggles, it wasn't bad, but I didn't have full control of the golf ball. And when that happens, I start thinking about different things in my swing. And he said, just paint a picture. Let's zero in on the target. Don't worry about your swing. The ball will go there as long as you focus on it. That's how it works. And so he was reiterating that today and yesterday. And that's what we were focusing on is seeing the ball flight, seeing it land, understanding where it's going to roll to.
And the other thing that these guys don't have to worry about, because their bodies have been trained and honed to be able to walk 7 miles a day for 4 days, plus concentrate and perform. And we're bringing Scott Dolly in, scottdolly.com. It's scottdawley.com. Expert team member of Golf Channel's Altered Course. Entrepreneur to watch in 2015, Lynx Run founder, and he's a pace of play advocate and a speed golf ambassador and a contestant. Welcome back to the show, Scott. It's good to have you.
Hello, Danielle. Aloha. Great to be back.
How does one get in shape to play this altered course format? Because as I said in my before the break, watching you guys, the way that the course has been set up, and watching the guys on this show, and I find it really good. I find it actually, Big Break was cool. They're fun characters, but this brings an element of, I've got to see what happens next. I've got to see if they make it up that hill. That hill isn't part of the real course, is it?
You know, the first part of, if you're talking about the second episode,
yes,
they showed on Monday, yeah. The first 75% of that altered course was one hole. And so that was about a 50-foot climb from tee box to green.
So everybody goes up that hole, walks up that hole, runs up that hole.
Well, you know, in golf, most people these days are taking carts. So they've got the carts that they're able to drive up there. But, yeah, somebody's walking or carrying their bag. They would have to walk up that hole. Now, the last part of it, after that the green, which was kind of a drop zone, you had to get it onto the green, and then you had to walk up that very steep, I think it was a 55-foot slope, up to the next tee box for the next hole. But then what you had to do is actually hit either over or under a tree to the 17th green. And so that is the part that is the altered course part of it. But definitely challenging there in Montego Bay. The White Witch course is up in the mountains, and so you just get these amazing, beautiful vistas and views. You've got, you know, severe uphill, and then, of course, like you saw in episode one, severe downhill off that first tee. So just really amazing setting, and talk about needing to be in shape and having fitness, you know, to be running up those hills. Just incredible.
It truly is. In fact, I was just thinking when you said White Witch course, Michael Patrick Shields, our travel guru extraordinaire, he's on the show all the time. He has recommended that as being a destination not to miss when you go to Montego Bay. The White Witch course is on his list. So just to give you some background, folks, this altered course format is a race. and you have a time limit, let's say 6 minutes from tee to putting that ball in the hole, and it's over. I'm not sure what the length of it is, but it's pretty significant. You must hustle. you must hustle. So my question, how do these people get picked, and what kind of a workout do they do to get into shape to perform like this on television?
You know, that's a great question, and I think what you're finding if you watch the little bios on each of the teams is that they all prepared in different ways. You've got CrossFitters and the Serbian Sisters, and you've got the Canadian Ninjas who do all kinds of different style of golf strength training. You have a couple of guys that are in the Army. You've got runners that primarily run. And so, you know, really the important aspect of it is having the aerobic fitness. So the ability to have the heart rate rise. But at the same time, when you get up to the ball, within about 10 or 15 seconds, you need to have that aerobic fitness to get the heart rate down a little bit so that you can take control of your body and hit solid shots. And, you know, a big part of that as well is the strength. If you don't have the matching core strength to go with the aerobic fitness, then you're going to have a hard time making a smooth, solid swing.
So muscling up is not a part of this. It sounds to me like it's all about cardiovascular health and being able to run. And as you said, being able to have the control over yourself so you can then settle down to be able to hit a shot.
Absolutely. I would say that is of primary importance, because if you look at the cast, 16 cast members, I mean, you've got very bulky and very strong all the way down to feet in some of the ladies. And so, but yet all of them were able to hit some really amazing shots. And so, yeah, the aerobic fitness part is what really takes you out of it. If you just are not comfortable and not used to having your heart rate elevated up to close to max, then yeah, you're going to struggle and have a difficult time standing over that ball, and your hands are going to be shaking, and you're going to have very little control over your body. So that would make it difficult.
I was impressed at their putting abilities, because yes, to be able to like steady your hands and putt, and the strokes were very smooth, and many times they dropped on the first putt. It was, of course, this is only the second episode, so what do I know? But let's go. You're a speed golf competitor.
Absolutely, yeah. And speed golf is what you saw in the elimination portion of episode number 2. Now, they call it every second count, but it's pure and simple speed golf. It's your score over one hole added to the time that it took you to play the hole. And so, in a sense, every stroke is equal to a minute. And so there is, a growing movement of speed golfers around the world who are interested in legitimizing the sport. And it's already legitimized in a certain sense. We have a world championship every year. We're entering into our fourth year of a world championship this year. And there's a nice loose federation of kind of national associations that are beginning to have their national championships. And so it's really exciting to be a part of that, not only as a professional athlete, somebody that loves to play the sport, but having been the executive director of Speed Golf International last year, really getting the chance to speak to men and women all over the world that are interested and passionate about this type of golf.
Yeah, because it adds for young people that element of action plus the finesse of golf, and putting that together in a package, you're getting the workout that you want to. You're getting that, heart rate sweat. I just call it basic sweat that makes you feel good after you've finished 3 hours, 2 hours, whatever it's going to take you. And I'm sure you guys got it down to like, what, 62 minutes? But
we'll, no.
Yes.
Yeah, the fastest speed golfers in the world can play in right around 40 minutes.
They
play 18 holes in about 40 minutes.
18 holes in 40 minutes?
Correct, that's right, with four or five clubs and with the ability to shoot anywhere between even par and, three over par.
Wow. Amazing. This is Scott Dolly, scottdolly.com, expert team member of Golf Channel's Altered Course. And what he and Gretchen Johnson did is when Altered Course was put together by Golf Channel, they had to see, Golf Channel had to figure out what kind of cameras they'd need, what kind of, how it would move, how this altered course or this particular part of the challenge would go. And so both Scott and Gretchen as a team ran it with everybody running after them with cameras and microphones. And so all the, and so he was the, that's why he's the expert team member. He knew what to do. He's got the experience, and he was the tester to see whether this course will work and they could put the cameras in place. So, but he's also a speed golf competitor. What do you, what is your workout like? How do you prepare?
Yeah, that's a great question. I particularly enjoy running, and I fell in love with running a couple years ago, back in 2012. I'd never been a runner before that, but I wanted to lose some weight, get back out to playing golf again, and I started running and just fell in love with it. So my training regimen in my speed golf season is a lot of running, and I mix up the long runs, which for me I would consider anything between 6 and 12 miles to be a long run. You know, your average golf course is going to be between 4.5 and 6 miles. And so I spend some time there. And then I also spend time doing shorter work, some interval work is what you would call it. So going around the track one time, that's 400 meters, and going as fast as you can, you know, doing some sprints. That really helps get your heart rate all the way up, and then you take a little break and it gets it down. And so you train your heart to go, to be able to beat really fast and then to slow down.
Do you do any weight? Do you do any weightlifting?
Yes, I do weightlifting as well. I don't do a lot of it, but I make sure that I have a very strong core. So I focus on my abs, my upper leg, and of course, when you're doing as much running as we do, training for a speed golf, you just have to strengthen your legs for your joint, for the sake of your joints and the sake of your back. You've got to have strong with those legs. So I would recommend anybody that gets into running and is doing more than maybe 50 miles a month to definitely make sure that you are also doing a little bit of strength training on the legs.
What kind of weight, what's the weight you use? I mean, how many pounds when you're working, let's say, free weights? 20, 40?
You know, I do so much with my biceps. I'll do bicep curls with 35-pound weight. I do like bench press, but I do the sitting down bench press as opposed to the one where you're laying down.
Yeah.
I do that at 80 pounds. I'll go single leg, to work out my quads. So that's where you start with your legs bent and then you kind of push the weight. You push, you know, the weight up and straighten your leg.
Yes.
I do that at 30 pounds, but just for one leg at a time, so that I can really focus on hitting particular muscles.
I think what's important is that people know that you're not going for, you know, big weights. It's just getting your muscles in shape, but not bulked up.
Yeah, and the other thing I do is I don't do multiple reps. You know, I don't do a lot of them. I might just go to a machine one time and do it, and then I move on to the next machine. So I'm moving around. But I'm doing it, you know, 4 to 6 days a week. So as opposed to somebody who might only have 3 days a week, they may want to do 2 reps at a machine, you know, because they're not coming back for the next couple of days. But, yeah, certainly I think you've made a great point, which is that it's not about becoming very big and bulky. In fact, at a certain point, that's going to hinder you.
Exactly.
But it's about having that core strength, the flexibility, and, of course, the aerobic fitness.
Now, this is Scott Dolly, expert team member, Golf Channel's Altered Course. It's a show on Golf Channel that a big break right now is, I guess you'd call, on hiatus, and they're focusing on Altered Course. And it's teams of two, but they're girls and guys, and they're competing against each other. And I ask myself, why are there not teams of men and women like you and Gretchen when you were testing the course? Would that work?
You know, I think it would work, and I think if they continue to move the show forward into multiple seasons, I think you're going to see that. I think that they're definitely going to have a season where they try to put together men and women teams and see how that goes down. I think their decision for the first year was a good one, which is let's just put guys with the guys and the girls with the girls, and we'll use the 80% rule that the USGA uses for distance. And that kind of equaled out the playing of each alter course. So I like what they did, but I agree with you. It sure would be fun to see some co-ed teams out there.
Yeah, some co-ed competition. I need to take a break. You got about five more minutes, and we can wrap this. We need to have Gretchen come on and talk about what it was like competing, because I know she's a competitor. And when you guys were running, I'm sure she was trying to beat you.
Absolutely. I've got some time. Let's keep talking.
Okay, we are KPUA Hilo, KGU FM, Honolulu, KGU AM, Honolulu, KONI FM, Lanai City, KTOH FM, Kalaheo. We'll be back right after this. We're talking with Scott Dolly. ScottDolly.com, expert team member of Golf Channel's Altered Course. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
In the security business, trust is earned over time. That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star. Star Protection Agency.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
Two players own the four major championships. Jordan Spieth has won two in a row this year. He's going for the Open title at the Home of Golf, St. Andrews, this July. That's where Rory McIlroy is defending. McIlroy's defending at the PGA Championship as well. Here's Jordan Spieth.
It's kind of cool, I think, to have two players hold the four majors, and Ricky having the fifth. I mean, it's awesome that the game's in young hands. I don't think much of a rivalry. I've said that from the beginning. I don't think much of a rivalry. Rory has four majors and you know, dozens of wins, and I'm just starting out. And again, you know, I'm certainly quite a bit younger than he is. So I'm just happy to have this and to be chasing that number one spot, which he holds. So I'm certainly focused on that.
I think it's great. We're talking right now with Scott Dolly of ScottDolly.com. He's expert team member of Golf Channel's Altered Course, entrepreneur to watch in 2015, Lynx Run founder and pace of play activist, speed golf competitor and ambassador. Scott, you know, when I heard him say that, you know, he's is he considerably older than me? One's 25 and one's 21?
Exactly.
You know, but talk to me about when you're in your 20s. I mean, do you guys start feeling old when you hit 29?
I certainly don't. You know, but I guess there's some people out there that do. But, you know, for Jordan, you know, the difference between 21 and 26 is, you know, a significant portion of his life. As you get older, into your 30s, you know, four or five years, it flies by. So, you know, I think it all has to do with, you know, take the lifestyle that you lead and taking care of yourself. And I think to the extent that you can do that and, you know, all the kind of basics, eating healthy and making sure that you exercise and making sure that you manage stress, because we're all so busy today in our lives. We just run around and there's so much going on, which is, I think, why we see a decline in participation in golf, is because, you know, nobody has time for 4 or 5 hours for recreation anymore if you take a time slot of 4 or 5 hours. So that's really where speed golf fits in, and I think why the Golf Channel wanted to put this show on the air was to show that there's a different way to play golf. You can get out there and have a really good time and accomplish multiple things in one block of time. You can get out and get your golf in. You can enjoy that recreation. You can get exercise. And really for competitors, people who play golf competitively or really are looking to improve their game, you know, this is the part we haven't talked about, Danielle, but, you know, I think that there's a little bit of a secret here in speed golf in terms of helping with peak performance. And we could always talk more about that later, but no, I'm really excited about that.
We have 4 minutes, so we can start. How does speed golf help us improve our golf game? And we're not talking about running and necessarily playing, but picking up. Anne Therese is a friend of mine. She's in Chicago. She winters in Hawaii. When she plays Mid-Pacific Country Club, she's like almost, she's walking fast. There's no slowdown with her. It's like, and I was impressed with that. Now, what does that do for the game?
Yeah, absolutely. So again, we've mainly focused on the physical benefits and the physical aspects of playing speed golf or playing golf faster than average, as I like to say. But there are also plenty of mental benefits to it as well. And so, you know, kind of the first obvious thing is that the quicker that you play, the less time you have to be up in your head thinking about the next shot and staring around at all of the obstacles between you and your target. And so the more that you add time into the performance equation, the less time that you have to be spending thinking about those treacherous objects in your way, and you simply have to focus on the target and move forward.
Does the reaction, you know how when you react to a ball being thrown at you and you catch it, you don't think about it? Moving faster, does that come into the equation, makes it a little bit easier, so to speak, to hit the ball?
Yeah. One of the terms that I like to use is I encourage people to go out and play disruptive golf. Play just a little bit faster than you're comfortable with. Get out of your comfort zone in terms of the pace. Even if you're in a cart, if you're not physically fit and there yet to be able to go out and jog or run, take a cart, but just speed up your routine to where you're feeling uncomfortable, because you're going to find out so many things about your body's amazing innate ability. Just like you said, when someone's throwing a ball at you, you have this innate ability to stick your hand up and catch it. And it happens in golf as well when you're playing at a disruptive pace, as I like to call it.
I like that. Disruptive pace.
Mm-hmm.
So you push yourself outside your comfort zone, and you also become more reactive to things. So, okay, I've got to set the ball. I'm here at the ball. What about practice shots? You know, practice shots are not necessary.
No, look at Shepard, who was part of the Georgia boys. And in the first episode, if you watch him tee off, he steps behind the ball, he takes two practice swings, he's going through his regular routine because they've never done this before. But if you watch him in episode two, he runs down to the tee box, sets his bag down, puts his tee down, he steps behind the ball, but I don't even think he took a practice swing. And then he just steps up and hit it. So he's already adapting to and getting comfortable with that quicker pace. And let me tell you, as you guys continue to watch more and more episodes, you're going to see that adaptability throughout the rest of the cast. You're going to see people moving faster and faster and hitting better and better shots. It's really amazing.
This is Scott Dolly, the expert team member. We're talking about Golf Channel's Altered Course, and I really recommend you watch it. It's in the afternoon in Hawaii, and it's fun. It's absolutely fun, and I'm invested in the Georgia boys, Camo Greens, the Twins, Icelandic Duo, the Frenemies, the Texas Hustlers, the Serbian Sisters, and the Canadian Ninjas, and I won't tell you who was eliminated.
And for your viewers, you can also catch it online at golfchannel.com. If you go to the Altered Course portion of their website, they are posting the full episodes every week online for those who happen to miss it on TV.
Fabulous news. Thanks so much, Scott, for being on the show. I look forward to talking to you again.
Thanks, Danielle. Aloha.
Aloha. We're going to come back with the last word on the U.S. Open and his thoughts, because I never know what Bob Bupka's going to come with. I mean, he told us some fantastic stories about his trip to the U.S. Open last week. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
It was our office manager's birthday, and she loves golf. So we decided to get together for golf at Poipu Bay, and we invited a bunch of our customers. It turned into a party. The clubhouse restaurant made a fabulous lunch. The customers had a great time and met the people they give orders to. They were golf buddies long before the 19th hole. Golf at Poipu Bay. Family, friends, business, and fun at Poipu Bay Golf Course on Kauai's South Shore. Spectacular. Call 742-8711 and book your tee time, get together, or event at Poipu Bay. That's 742-8711. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem.
I've never had an eagle.
Heck, I've never had a birdie.
I would not recognize Jesper Parnovic.
I've never played a round of golf.
But I support the first tee.
It's teaching my daughter important values.
It gets them off the couch.
He's more patient, focused.
Self-confident.
He's just a happier kid.
At the First Tee, we teach kids important values they can take with them from the golf course to their communities and to the rest of their lives.
I didn't know a little golf ball could make such a big difference.
Visit thefirsttee.org to learn more.
Teed up the ball, feet grounded, taking a deep breath, rip it and rip it. Did I do that? Oh, man. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
2015 U.S. Open champion Jordan Spieth did not have his best game all week. But as he put it, we grinded it out. Michael Greller is his caddy, who held him together. And Spieth gave him his due, his props, after the tournament.
I closed the door and we went away from any cameras when it was happening, when the finish was happening with Michael. And he just said, dude, be positive. I was sitting there going, I think Dustin's going to make this, and what did I do? How did I possibly let this happen? He said, be positive. You just never know. And I was sitting with him when that second putt missed, and I just, my eyes were wide looking at the TV screen, and he said, and he was silent as well. We didn't really know what to do, and then got up. He said, dude, give me a hug. You did it. And it was really cool. I mean, it's amazing. What a special place for Michael. He was married here. You know, he shares arguably one of the best moments of his life here. And I was just able to add to that history that he has at Chambers Bay. And that was probably the best work Michael's ever done. What was this week to get me through. At Augusta, I was on, and I was making everything. And I was striking the ball fantastic. And he's the one who got me through this week when I wanted to get down, when things weren't going well. And he did unbelievable work.
Awesome. Would you like to win some golf balls? It's the Great Bridgestone Golf Ball Giveaway. It's happening right now. And all you have to be is the ninth caller at 808-296-5467. That's 808-296-5467 or just 296-5467. Just be the ninth caller. Bob Bupka, welcome to the show.
Well, I want to get off the line. I want to call in. I need some golf balls.
I'll send you some.
How are you, Danielle?
I'm excellent. And you've flown from Seattle, from Tacoma, all the way over to the East Coast. He's on the road. But I got to tell you, a co-host of the Grill Room radio show on TuneIn Radio, you can find it anytime you want. Their new one is out right now. It's Alex Maselli with Bob Bupka, the voice of golf. He's with us now. And on a golf reporter on Talk Sport, he talks to millions. You know, people hang on his every word in the UK. Bob, what did you and Alex disagree on the most about Chambers Bay and the U.S. Open?
Well, that's a great question. Actually, we didn't disagree on too many things because the things we stated were pretty obvious, that Chambers Bay certainly shouldn't have been holding a U.S. Open championship. The fact that it was designed to hold a major with the prior knowledge that there were going to be four holes where no spectators were allowed, I mean, is inconceivable to me. Why build a championship golf course and people can't watch golf?
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, I don't know.
It was made for TV. Made for TV. That's it.
Well, I said to a high-ranking USGA guy, it's amazing you said that, Danielle. I said, let me ask you. I said, is this the genesis for made-for-TV U.S. Opens? You know, we don't need spectators in the future. We're just going to go to some place, and we're going to contest the U.S. Open, and it's going to be carried on TV, and, you know, no spectators. He didn't like that too much, but I was being serious. I spoke to too many people that were so disappointed. I love what Colin Montgomery said. Golly, my wife followed me for 72 holes this week playing in the U.S. Open. She even got to see 15 golf shots. I mean, why they would do that, you know, knowing that they were building it, designing it to hold a major championship and build it and design it where spectators can't go on so many of the holes. I mean,
yeah,
we were upset about that.
Very.
But one other thing that you brought up, which I thought was fantastic, listening to Jordan Spieth give a lot of credit to his caddy, Dustin Johnson paid the ultimate price by not having a caddy at the U.S. Open.
Now, say that again. Say that again. He did not have a caddy at the U.S. Open?
No, he did not. He had his younger brother carrying the bag. Now, there's a big difference between somebody that carries the bag and a professional caddy. Professional caddy on that 72nd hole would have been telling Dustin Johnson, look, on this eagle putt, we're not trying to make it. We're trying to hit it down close to the hole. If it goes in, great. If it doesn't go in, we'll take our chances in an 18-hole playoff. Dustin Johnson aggressively went after trying to make that eagle putt. It went too far. He misses. Jordan wins. And that's because he did not have a caddy. He had somebody carrying his bag.
You're absolutely right. I mean, it was the whole thing about Jordan Spieth working with his caddy. His caddy held him together. There were places where he was bent over, his head was down, he was forlorn, and his caddy just kept going, you know, paint the picture.
Yeah. No, I mean, Michael Grella did an outstanding job. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, you put somebody in the position, Dustin Johnson puts his younger brother, hey, it's great. You know, they're brothers. They get to spend time together. His younger brother makes a lot of money by carrying that bag if he just gets what a normal caddy gets. I mean, you know, his younger brother probably made in the vicinity of $100,000 at the U.S. Open. It cost Dustin Johnson probably in the neighborhood of $10 to $15 million to have his brother alongside, because he should have, you know, I don't know whether he would have won the 18-hole playoff or not, but he should have been in an 18-hole playoff. And if you really want to dig a little deeper into the 2015 U.S. Open, probably the winner should have been Louis Oosthuizen.
Oh, who yes. Was, yes.
He paired with Tiger Danielle on Thursday and Friday. And on Thursday, he shoots a 77, you know, while Ricky Fowler and Tiger Woods are in car wrecks on every hole, shoots a 77 in the opening round and then comes right down to the wire and winning it. Nobody played any better over the last three rounds than Louis Oosthuizen.
No, those last 54 holes were the best in U.S. Open history.
Right.
Unbelievable. I called it at the beginning of the show almost a Tiger-like, because Tiger would blow it and then, like, you know, broom, all of a sudden he's at the top of the leaderboard. You're going, I thought he was out of it, and here he's at the top of the leaderboard. If Louis had just a few more, you know, minutes, he probably would have won it. But I want to talk a little bit about Dustin Johnson. This is his fourth loss when he had a major in sight, right? The three-putt at Chambers Bay, the 82 in the final round at Pebble, the two-stroke penalty at,
Whistling Straight.
Yeah, that bunker that, who would have thunk it was a bunker. And that was questionable, too, about didn't anybody, you know, surround the bunker? Why were they letting people, but nevertheless, that was then, this is now. Then the two iron out of bounds at the Open. And he comes back and says, it just wasn't my time.
Well.
Yes, I mean, really? I wonder. Some people say that he's just, there's something missing in him that makes I don't know how to say it. At least he comes back and he says he's looking forward to it. That's why I play golf. He's preparing for the Open. He's looking forward to it.
Yeah, well, you know, Dustin Johnson is blessed with an incredible ability to hit a golf ball a long, long way, all right? And that'll get you in contention in a lot of events. Upstairs and in the thinking department, Dustin Johnson has a hard time. I mean, he really does. And you know, it's just one of those things. And the scar tissue now on Dustin Johnson leaving Chambers Bay is immense. I mean, I go back, you know, the Doug Sanders in 1970 at St. Andrews missed about a two-foot putt that would have gotten him into a playoff with Jack Nicklaus to win the Open Championship. And about a year ago, the last time I saw Doug, I said, Doug, let me ask you, you ever think about that putt you missed at St. Andrews? And he says, heck no, Bob. He says, sometimes 5 minutes goes by without me even thinking about it.
Yes, that's perfect. But that's also why Dustin Johnson needs a professional caddy working with him, talking to him. He wasn't talking to anybody because he didn't have anybody to talk to.
You're right on the money, Danielle. It was a lonely place on that 72nd hole. Dustin Johnson was under intense pressure. He had just hit a brilliant 5-iron. He was dead certain to take it into Monday and make the horror show for the USGA extend even a day further. The thing that bailed the USGA out on this United States Open is the fact that they got Jordan Spieth as the winner. Had it gone to an extra day and the media had to stay another day, the comments, you know, covering it would have been far less kind, and they weren't that kind right now.
Yeah.
But they got lucky with the winner in the form of Jordan Spieth, outstanding national champion. What a representative. You should be thankful. I'm thankful. Anybody in the golf business has to be extremely thankful having Jordan Spieth as one of our leading ambassadors of the sport. A 21-year-old that's a gentleman that respects his parents, that has ideals, high ideals, I should say. I mean, that's the kind of guy that we want atop the golf world.
Excellent. And he's American. Wow.
That's another thing.
You know, it's like, okay, we've got somebody to go up against Rory McIlroy. And what's up with Rory's game? Rory didn't show us much of anything at the U.S. Open. I don't think he did as well as the highest or, you know, the lowest scoring amateur. Didn't the amateur come in fifth?
Yeah, but you know what happened to Rory McIlroy? His ball striking was pretty superior. He had no luck whatsoever on the green. You know, he had nothing go in, nothing, no putts drop. Rory McIlroy, I can assure you, did not leave Chambers Bay overly disappointed. He was very happy with the way he struck the ball. Those putting surfaces left a lot to be desired. If you got lucky, you could hit a you know, an imperfection and have your ball go in a hole. That's if you were, you know, lucky. If you were unlucky, it would hit that same imperfection and stay out of the hole. There was too much left to chance on the greens for Rory McIlroy to be too concerned. I would say this much. I'd be surprised if anybody other than Rory McIlroy wins the Open Championship at St. Andrews. From a media perspective, I love Jordan Spieth because that'd be three legs of the Grand Slam.
I was just going to ask you, let's go to the U.S. to the Open, you know, at St. Andrews, and what are your thoughts? And you just told me you're going with Rory McIlroy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he knows St. Andrews. The added pressure on Jordan Spieth of trying to complete three legs of the major, I mean, you know, of winning majors. I mean, it's going to be immense. And if somehow he pulls it off, I can't even believe what will happen at Whistling Straits in the state of Wisconsin. The amount of media credentials and everything else will triple. You know, everybody looking to see if we get the first modern Grand Slam, you know, in golf history. It would be incredible. But Jordan Spieth, nothing to be taken away from him. He's won the Masters. He's won the U.S. Open. He's 21 years old. He did it with class and style and set great examples for youngsters everywhere. And you cannot ask of anybody to do anything more than that. Getting young people to play this game and doing it as a gentleman.
Awesome. I'm glad. One final thought on Jason Day. I mean, we can't really leave it without mentioning the gut that he had to pull it all together after the vertigo, taking the medicine, being out of it because of what it did, getting out of a system, dealing with the vertigo again. I mean, gutting it out was amazing, and watching him finish was, you know, a true performance on his part.
Yeah, I mean, you can't take anything away from what Jason Day did. I mean, he set the record for being on TV climbing upstairs because Fox TV decided that Jason walking upstairs was great TV, very compelling. And then Jason going downstairs was very compelling. And meanwhile, Joe Buck, okay, you know, venturing into the golf arena, saying what a courageous effort by Jason Day, a life-threatening situation, and he carries on. I mean, come on. I mean, and he was doing that because Greg Norman was sitting next to him telling him that, you know, Jason Day is the greatest thing that ever walked the face of the earth. And I love Jason Day, but they went overboard with Jason Day. Overboard.
Yes, it was a bit much. And I guess, what were your final thoughts on Fox's first attempt to broadcast a golf tournament?
My final thought is I can only hope and pray it was their last, but we got 12 more years of it. So get ready, TV viewers.
Well, they
got to
get ready. They got to get better. They, you know, they're smart
people.
They
have to.
They're smart people. They will, Bob. Have confidence.
All right. I'll wait. I'll hold my judgment.
Okay. All right. I'm looking at the leaderboard, you know, where the women are playing, and it's really phenomenal. We've got a 63 in the Walmart Northwest Arkansas Championship, and they're just playing like gangbusters on the LPGA. It's truly with a tie for first. It's really wonderful. Okay. I guess our time's run out. Any burning desire to say anything more?
Only that I miss you, and I can't wait to get back to Hawaii.
Yay!
And thanks for having me on.
I love having you on, because, you know, that story about the guys in the naked and the in the race on the bicycles. And
yeah,
the...
well, I'm going back to Seattle. I'm going to ride in the nude bike race, and I'm buying my marijuana at the marijuana shop. I'll be in good shape.
Bob Bupka, he is the co-host of the Grill Room Golf Show. You can find it at thegrillroom.com and online at TuneIn Radio. Thanks so much, Bob.
Thank you, love. Bye-bye.
Thank you for making the golf club possible. Alert Alarm of Hawaii, providing CCTV surveillance systems for both commercial and residential customers across Hawaii. These systems can be monitored anywhere on your laptop, your smartphone. It's Alert Alarm of Hawaii, your Kama'aina video surveillance company. Thank you, Star Protection, for property threat and risk assessment, for protection for your home, for your business, for your concert or your special event like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. We'll see Bob Bupka there. Get the Star Team on your property. Thank you, Creative Plumbing. Whether you're a building, a shopping center, a store, a custom home, or a townhouse, you need to call Creative Plumbing, because it's got to be done right. It's your plumbing, and it's got to be done right. Goodness knows. Creative Plumbing. Poipu Bay Golf Course, thank you. All 18 championship holes hosted the PGA America's Grand Slam of Golf for over 10 years. I miss our annual treks to Kauai's Poipu Bay Golf Course, an outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities. It's the Poipu Bay Golf Course on Kauai's South Shore. And the winner, I'm looking it up right now. I know that Raf sent over a message to me and it came in. Guy Shindo from Mililani. Thank you so much for being our ninth caller. Are you a lucky guy? We'll get those Bridgestone golf balls in the mail to you real soon. And thanks to all the people who make this show possible across the state. You can find us at radiogolfclub.com. That's radiogolfclub.com. We're also on TuneIn Radio or on Stitcher for your smartphone. It doesn't take up any memory. Or at iTunes Podcast. So you can pretty much listen to us anywhere you are in the world. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2015.